Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is part two of our discussion with Bill Sardi. He's an investigative journalist and science writer who is very knowledgeable about resveratrol. Recently, we heard that resveratrol in red wine is not beneficial. It doesn't help, according to a study that appeared in the Archives of Internal Medicine in the part one of our Intelligent Medicine podcast today with Bill Sardi. We've talked about some of the major flaws in that study. And we'd like now to talk a little bit about news you can use vis-a-vis resveratrol if you're consuming resveratrol. Bill, have you ever heard someone refer to resveratrol as reversatrol?
All the time. I don't think anybody can pronounce that word correctly. And in a year or two, I may hear it once or twice. And we even have a product I'm involved with, Longevinix. No one gets that one right either. So
actually, that's pretty clever because I think that would be a good name for a resveratrol product because or we could call it Reverse It All.
Reverse it all.
All right. So, you know, I'll just take a 10% royalty on that product that's my idea, right?
Okay, you're right.
Okay, because I'll trademark it and boom. Okay, resveratrol or reverse it all. Actually, an appropriate name because resveratrol is very versatile. So, and it doesn't actually have to come from red wine. Some of the resveratrol that we have in our supplements comes from a tiny purple plant. That annoyingly grows up all over my lawn on Long Island, right?
Yeah, the giant knotweed. So
the knotweed,
it does,
right.
Yeah, so giant knotweed's the primary source. It's nice because it grows naturally. It's a weed. You can't stop it. It's considered a noxious weed because it grows so well, and it resists funguses, so it's in watery areas of the world. It's not a crop. It just grows, and you don't need to work hard to find it. You'll find a lot more of it in
Oregon. Maybe it's hard to kill because it has a high resveratrol content.
Yeah, that's
so it's very resistant to the usual things that get environmental conditions, but also the things that usually get rid of weeds.
Yeah, the Department of Agriculture considers it a noxious weed. You know, it'll overgrow roads and all kinds of things. So, and of course, it's been used for a long time. The issue is here, it was discovered 1997, John Pizzuto was a researcher at Purdue University, he's now at the University of Hawaii, and what he discovered, he went on a examination of what natural molecules could cure cancer, went all over the world, studied thousands of molecules, reported this in Science magazine, and said, do not study any other molecules, resveratrol, it's so profound. It stops cancer dead in its tracks at all three stages of development, and that is its initiation, growth, and spread, or metastasis. They had never found anything like that before. Of course, is it being used as an adjunct to current cancer therapy? No. Are there ongoing trials to see this work? No. This is, you know, a couple of decades later almost. So you see modern medicine dragging their feet. And, of course, the first thought of this with resveratrol wine would be heart disease. And in the last 10 years, there's a researcher on the East Coast saying, major heart researcher, saying, what happened to resveratrol? We haven't done any human studies in the last 10 years. So you can see medicine dragging its feet over this issue. And my company was the receipt of a letter on a major, I won't say the university's letterhead, but we've shown this to authorities, the letter came twice. We got a letter from a major university, unsigned by any person, but on their letterhead saying, if we do not cease researching our Longevinix pill, that the research community was going to take retribution against us and put us out of business.
Wow.
Now, I mean, this kind of stuff, wow, who asked for this kind of trouble?
Well, so, you know, I think part of it is that, you know, for I also have an experience similar to that. I was working, developing products for a major chain vitamin store. And I, you know, in developing a heart formula, I said, well, we've got to put resveratrol in there. In developing a brain formula, we definitely need to put resveratrol. They said, we can't. I said, why? They said, well, you know, it's controversial. Our legal department says that we might run into flack from the current patent holder, which is GlaxoSmithKline. You know, with having bought the Sinclair Lab Enterprise, they felt that resveratrol was going to be challenged if it appeared in a vitamin or supplement. That has changed, I think. Now resveratrol supplements abound in health food stores.
Right,
and
it does.
Less of a problem.
What happens is if it's a pure 99.9% plus product, it could be declared by the FDA as a drug. So we tend to use 85 or 90% from a botanical source to stay away from any designation as a drug to put us out of business. So that's just
They just don't want it to be too efficacious. If it's too efficacious, it becomes a drug, and then they take it off the market. So as long as it's not very efficacious, they won't mess with you.
Yeah. Well, you know, and you know, here they're going to say that there's no long-term safety data. Just so everybody listening, there's 432 resveratrol pills on the market, 10 years of use, thousands of people have used them. We don't have any major reports of serious side effects. Now, I can tell you there are a few little things that happen if you're anemic. Maybe you shouldn't take it. If you're, you know, if you're having babies, maybe it's not time. Because
in other words, you don't want to really, in other words, you don't want to artificially amp up your resveratrol or anything for that matter when you're pregnant. You know, perhaps you may want to drink some green tea, but maybe don't take, you know, six green tea capsules per day or something
that. It has anti-growth factors in it. But to the alarm of
And that's why it helps in the eye. It actually may have anti-angiogenesis factors that prevent the proliferation of blood vessels in the eye. So it makes sense that maybe just on a theoretical basis anyway, that maybe, just maybe, it might not be the greatest thing to take at high doses in pregnancy. Okay,
but let me catch the attention of your audience. Is resveratrol good for you or bad for you? Let me give you the answer. Bad. Okay, how would I say that? Resveratrol, in a certain dose range, is a molecule that is sending a slight bad signal. What do I mean by that? It sends the same signal or mimics we call it calorie restriction. And if you send that signal...
Caloric deprivation.
Caloric deprivation. Now, we can also send the same signal if we're not getting quite enough oxygen, high altitude. Or we can send the same signal if we're exposed to very low doses of radiation, like radon gas.
So it's a stress response. It's a
stress response.
Right.
So what resveratrol is doing, in a certain dose range, do not use the very high doses. You want something like 50 to... 200 milligrams, 50 to 250 milligrams. But in that range, you're going to turn on a switch. It's a gene switch called NRF2. NRF2 is going to say, oh, the body's under stress. Let's turn on all the antioxidant defenses internally.
Right.
And it's going to naturally make catalase, superoxide, dismutase, glutathione, hemoxygenase, a lot of big words, but they're enzymatic antioxidants. And if those are switched on, and you happen to have a stroke or a heart attack, the damage will be so little, maybe nothing.
Right.
This is why we think the French have the silent heart attacks, no pain, because the defense system is on. The switch is turned. And so you want to take resveratrol in a modest dose. You don't want to go up to 500 milligrams or 1,000, and you don't want to add curcumin and green tea and grapeseed and cinnamon. All of those polyphenols together will work against you, and you're going to make the stress such a strong signal, it will be a knockout stress signal. So we don't want to go that far. So all of those molecules together should be no more than maybe 300, 350 milligrams from supplements. So we get some in coffee and tea and obviously in wine. So the point is you can overdo this signal, and then it'll work against you. And those studies were done with resveratrol.
I'm a little unclear on that, because what could be the consequence of, say, you're like, you know, overzealously maxing out on resveratrol, and plus you're taking every polyphenol antioxidant you can get a hold of, cocoa supplements and coffee bean, green coffee bean extract, and, you know, you're loading your body with polyphenols. You know, some will say, you know, the more the better, because you create an impervious shield against free radicals and any form of inflammatory insult.
10 years ago, I used to almost never hear of a side effect with resveratrol pills. But then people got really excited, particularly about curcumin, because it's a very strong polyphenol. And all of a sudden, we started hearing about migraine headaches, atrial fibrillation, anxiety, skin rashes, flu-like symptoms. So all of those are related to too much stress hormone, because this pill is sending a stress signal and it activates your adrenals to make a lot of what we call norepinephrine and epinephrine. And wow, you're racing your heart. You see, like an animal, you know, a wild animal just jumped out in front of you. Your heart's going to race. Well, here we are into atrial fibrillation. So if you get too much of a dose, what's happening is, on the scientific side, polyphenols inhibit an enzyme called sulfotransferase that keeps a lid on our stress hormones. Take that enzyme away, and it gets too frisky. Now, in a mild dose, it just makes us more alert, and that's why most of us go, oh, I love the mental clarity on these resveratrol pills. Take too much, and alertness goes to anxiety, and then into we haven't had anybody in the morgue yet. The point is that, you know, you don't want to go for this wild roller coaster ride.
On the other hand, I mean, there are some studies that show that curcumin alone, you know, as a solo nutrient, can actually have an antidepressant effect.
Yes.
Helping, I mean, they did a toe-to-toe comparison of curcumin to Prozac, and they found that there were comparable effects.
Curcumin's wonderful. All of these polyphenols are wonderful. They're all MAO inhibitors. There are drugs that are antidepressants called MAO inhibitors. So they just work so wonderfully, and safer, and of course, less costly. You know, if they were using the Longevinix pill, for example, in this wet macular degeneration, we'd save a couple of $1 billion a year to Medicare. But, you know, I don't want to really go there, but I'm just saying the heartache attached to this, that we're not really applying natural medicine like we should. And, you know, a lot of people are paying with their eyesight and their heart and their lives, really.
So talk to us a little bit about, you know, we talked a little bit about caloric deprivation, and that's what Sinclair has done a lot of research on.
Right.
And deprivation and resveratrol have something in common, because they both seem to rev what's called the sirtuin pathway, which is a beneficial pathway for the body. So explain how, in effect, when you take resveratrol, it's sort of like intermittent fasting in a bottle.
Right, right. Fasting, and that goes way back biblically. Moses fasted, lived 120 years, said on his last day he had a strong, firm body and good eyesight. And it sends a signal to body. And then, just as I said, it switches on these internal antioxidants. There was a man named Luigi Cornaro. You can get his book at Google, Luigi Cornaro, C-O-R-N-A-R-O. He lived 102 years, 1464 to 1566. He was declared a glutton and a drunkard at age 35, told to limit the amount of wine and food. He limited his food to 12 ounces a day, his wine to 14 ounces. Now, only an Italian would think 14 ounces of wine is a limitation.
It's like, go easy on the wine, but, you know, what's that, like generous glasses of wine per day?
Right. He lives 102 years, was jumping up on a horse in his 90s, writing the whole book every decade, all of his relatives dying off, and lived a very productive life, died in a rocking chair at age 102. And so there it was, the calorie restriction and the red wine resveratrol signal, you see, in modest doses. And so, you know, this man lived exceptionally long in his time. By the way, that was in the dark ages when people were dying like flies. So the point is, demonstrated in the past, David Sinclair certainly has demonstrated and still thinks this is the way to go. Now, I will say for everyone listening, a few weeks ago, David Sinclair showed in an animal that you could take the muscle tissue in 1 week and make that muscle tissue the equivalent of 60 years old back to 20 years old again in just 1 week. And you did it by activating the mitochondria, the little energy-producing compartments in our cells, and that's how he did it. The resveratrol activates a cousin of sirtuin-1 survival gene called sirtuin-3, and sirtuin-3 is the mitochondrial survival gene, and Longevinix upregulates the sirtuin 3 gene by 295% better than plain resveratrol. So we think we really have an anti-aging pill at hand, and we think it's been well tested. Our Longevinix pill, we've tested it for toxicity, just like the drugs go through. In fact, it's the only resveratrol pill you can just keep spooning it into your mouth, and it will not cause what we call cytotoxicity, that is, kill cells in your body at any tested dose. We went up to 2,800 milligrams, and it's a little trade secret we have in the pill. But the point is, it's safe, and all resveratrol pills are basically safe, but I do suggest to stay away from unwanted side effects, keep the dose down. And you need more than you're going to get in the diet, which is all this recent study provided 3 milligrams of resveratrol a day in wine. But if you're getting a dark aged red wine, you're getting about 60 milligrams of total polyphenols, including resveratrol, per glass. Now, 3 glasses would provide you 3 times 60 or 180. 5 glasses, about 300. And then the interesting, 3 to 5 glasses of wine is the optimal heart protection, and that's 180 to 300 milligrams of total polyphenols, which is about the same safety range or effective range for plain resveratrol, which has been tested at about 175 to 350 milligrams. So in that range is where you want to use resveratrol pills, not the real high dose. And you give this little signal that your body's in trouble and give it mildly, and your body just turns on all kinds of defenses, you know, incoming missiles coming, so send out interceptors. And it works. This works. And, of course, there is an NRF2 activating drug. It's sold a drug supplement sold multi-level for about $40 or $50 a bottle for a month's supply. And you get these resveratrol pills are quite a bit more economical. But they're activating the same gene pathway. So
Can you talk to us about a supplement called Tyrosyl Bean, which is related to resveratrol? I've seen claims that it is a good complement to resveratrol, or it's in some cases it's thought to be some people are positioning it as the new resveratrol.
Right.
What's your take on that?
I will say it the way it's spelled, Pterostilbene, Bean, P-T-E-R-O, Stilbene, S-T-I-L-B-E-N.
Yeah, it's one of those weird things that's spelled P-T-E-R-O.
Right,
yeah.
So Pterostilbene is, stilbenes are these class of molecules like resveratrol. Pterostilbene is the one that's methylated. They call it methylated. What they're trying to say is it's more bioavailable. Well, it's a little bit of nonsense. When you get resveratrol in your body, it's going to get absorbed, about 70% of it. It's going to get shuttled over to the liver, and the liver sees it as something bad. So it's going to take it out of action. It's going to attach detox molecules to it called sulfate and glucuronate, and then it's going to whirl around as what we call a metabolite, a liver metabolite of resveratrol, and that prolongs its action in the body up to 9 hours, whereas if it was unattached to those liver molecules, those detoxification molecules, it only lasts about have a half-life of about. Well, what they're trying to tell you with the pterostilbene, it will remain unbound and therefore more bioavailable, what we call free or unbound resveratrol. Yes, but it won't last very long.
Okay.
So it's a kind of a dead-end street. So I know the promoters have made a big deal out of it, but it really – and we've found that the liver metabolites of resveratrol work just as well as the free unbound, but they last hours longer. So that's the story.
What is a phytoalexin, P-H-Y-T-O, alexin?
Phytoalexins are in plants, and they upregulate defenses, just like I was telling you we do in our own body. And therefore, if the plant that we then end up eating has been exposed to more stress before we ate it, it has more of those good phytoalexins. And so that's true. And so if you're getting giant knotweed or grape skins and they've been exposed to a lot of cold and heat and sun and funguses are another common thing, then they upregulate defenses. Well, then they're going to be more voluminous when we eat them. And so that's what phytoalexins are. So
it's actually preferable when you're going shopping is to get that gnarly, bruised-looking, slightly browned apple instead of the one that's like the perfect succulent, picture-perfect skin.
Yeah, the redder apples are the ones that were exposed to more sun, more radiation, and put up more defense. So we get more quercetin and other wonderful antioxidants in there.
I think it's also a good argument for organic food, because organic food, has, maybe exposed to more environmental challenges, and the plant itself is developing helpful compounds to fight off pathogens, invaders, and environmental circumstances rather than a perfect greenhouse tomato that's grown with lots of pesticides and antifungals and chemicals.
You bet. The plant's going to upregulate all of its natural defenses against it, so you're going to get more of those nutrients when you eat it. So,
in the manufacturing of Longevinex, you chose to combine it with several other ingredients. So, what's the rationale for it's resveratrol, trans resveratrol, by the way. But what's the difference between trans resveratrol and regular old resveratrol?
Trans resveratrol is the undegraded form. It's not been exposed to UV light, and it's the form that's most studied. And it is considered the active form. The form called cis resveratrol, has been exposed to light and is considered the inactive form, though it has some biological activity. And therefore, in Longevinex, we're the only ones to do this. We put it in an opaque shell, a capsule where the light doesn't come in. And we also microencapsulate it. We enfold it in plant starches and dextrins, so that if we just put the powder out on a roof in Arizona where the UV light could get to it, and
it'd
it didn't
be gone.
Turn,
yeah.
And it did, yeah, it didn't turn to the cis resveratrol.
Oh, okay.
Well, these things, these pills are kept for a year or two. People, don't realize how much they bought. They get an old, and so we found that we've got a 3-4 year shelf life. It's still active if we microencapsulate. Then we micronize it. We make it smaller particle size, because that increases the blood level by about fourfold. So these are all things we do to make what we call as close to research-grade resveratrol as possible. And, we've had a thrill doing this. In our time, now we've shown it works to restore vision. Again, that's not a health claim that we can make, because it's not FDA-approved for that. But we have seen people have their vision rescued, and it's in the published literature. They also did a wonderful study in Japan. The first sign of blood vessel disease in our body is when our blood vessels fail to widen or dilate as we increase our heart rate. So I'm just sitting here talking to you. My heart's going blump, blump, blump. But if I get up and start walking, it's going blump, 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 blump. And my pressure is going up in my blood vessels. And if I don't widen or dilate my vessels, I'm going to have a stroke. I'm going to blow out my capillaries in my brain. Well, the inability of our blood vessels to dilate or widen is called flow-mediated dilatation. Stronger flow means that they better dilate or widen or else. Well, the first sign is the inability to do that. They did one study with plain resveratrol. It worked very well at restoring that ability. They then used Longevinex in a different study, and it abolished that problem. It worked twice as well as plain resveratrol. But resveratrol works. Let me be a fan of resveratrol of any kind until you get a good brand and hope they make it right and it's really labeled correctly, and get a modest dose and become a fan of resveratrol. If you want one that's proven to work and has been shown, if I had an eye problem, I wouldn't be fooling around things that haven't been tried, but because the consequences are something strong. But the issue is that get resveratrol. The entire research community, big pharma, et cetera, is camped on this thing, and they're just kind of sitting on the lid, and it pops out once in a while, and then they put it back in. And so,
Do you think, and I know it's tough for you to speculate, you may not want to go on the record saying this, but do you think that David Sinclair, who spearheads this, nearly billion-dollar enterprise to discover new anti-aging compounds, he has his own laboratory under the auspices of GlaxoSmithKline. Do you think he's a closet believer in resveratrol, in spite of the fact that some of the studies are showing they're not paying off when they're trying to use the synthetic or the very high dose resveratrol?
I think David Sinclair does have integrity. He's beset upon by big university forces. He works for a big pharmaceutical company, but he's been strong and bold enough to tell them, there is nothing keeping this from becoming reality. He's quoted as saying those very words, that we could move ahead and make this happen. There is nothing. Now, I think that's pretty strong language. And what he's saying is resveratrol works. It works wonderfully. And there's nothing keeping it from becoming a reality. Now, I thought he'd lose his job on that one. But he's been very vocal and strong about this. He personally took our Longevinix pill for a number of years. And the university that he worked at was telling him, you can't tell anybody what brand you use. So, you know, there's been a lot
He's in a different place. Because I mean, he really has to appear to be free of commercial interests and yada, yada, yada. You know.
And we weren't willing to bandy it around about that because, it would make him look commercial. And we didn't want to do that. So he was just looking for a good pill to use, and we supplied it to him.
Well, in fact, he is commercial, but his master is a much bigger master than a small vitamin company. It's a huge multinational big pharma concern.
I've said this now, Dr. Hoffman, I think you'd agree with this. Look, if everybody could get this show today, listen to this, and just for a while experiment with this, we would have a natural health revolution. There's nothing keeping it from happening, but the people who are going back to their doctors who aren't in the know on this, and we have a lot of ethical doctors on this. Doctors are leading the charge with vitamin D. We see that one going. So if the world would find resveratrol and just move ahead in what's happening, they're waiting for their doctors to give the go-ahead and insurance to pay, and this dream is fizzling out. It shouldn't.
What's our today's intelligent medicine call to action vis-a-vis you and resveratrol? Do you have a website or a source of information?
Well,
your information's always great. You have a newsletter?
Right. I write about resveratrol in a non-commercial way at resveratrolnews.com, R-E-S-V-E-R-A-T-R-O-L, resveratrolnews.com. And you can go check the Longevinix website. That's like the word longevity with the word vine in the middle, Longevinix. And go see that. We hope to educate people before we ever try to give them a sales pitch because, you know, this is a pretty important thing because there have been a lot of hucksters and elixirs and things over the decades. And we wanted this to be real for people. And Longevinix has about a dozen published studies and has probably the best science. But science doesn't really sell, or I would be on the front page of Time magazine or something. So I do remember I read a book called Elixir. It was about a fellow who developed an anti-aging pill, and no one would buy it. The doctors didn't buy into it until this fella cut the doctors in as the only distributors. They made the money. The president of the United States – this is a fictional book. The president of the United States took it. The Pope wouldn't take it. And then billions of dollars were made, and the casket makers and the mortuary fellas – combined forces to try to buy out this guy because there weren't enough deaths for their industry.
This sounds like an allegorical tale.
Yeah, it was an interesting book, reading it. But I can tell you the resistance is there, and the public hasn't quite caught on when they read these negative studies to see through what they're keeping sanity. And I think it's a big – the science isn't stopping behind this. You see hundreds of reports – every month, there's hundreds of reports. Researchers are moving ahead, and they are trying to tell you, well, we can develop a better one, an analog, a drug. They haven't done it yet. And if there is one that's better, it's Longevinix. It's been two or three times better than plain resveratrol in the studies. But neither here nor there. I hate to be a commercial. I like to run over the hill with a flag, and that flag should say resveratrol. Get some resveratrol in your life. It'll make a big difference.
Okay. Well, let's hear it for Reverse It All.
Okay.
All right. We'll call it Reverse It All.
Okay, there goes that 10% commission check.
Ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. thank you very much for joining us today, Bill Sardi. And we will refer our listeners to resveratrolnews.com.
Yes.
And your wonderful source of information about this amazing substance. So the take-home message is, in spite of studies that are of dubious methodology and lurid headlines, resveratrol is still a very real phenomenon and is something that our listeners should still be interested in taking. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.